Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to today's Caffeine for the Soul. And today is part three of our excerpt from the audiobook of Supercoach, 10 Secrets to Transform Anyone's Life. And there's one paragraph that you'll hear in today's excerpt that I just want to highlight because it was written more than 10 years ago originally. Now, I don't know what's going on in the world at the time you're reading this, but it's a pretty safe bet that there are some things going on that you wish weren't happening, that you're thinking lots of thoughts about how horrible things are going to be in the future because of it, and that you're feeling that horrible thinking as though those things are already happening now. And the reason I wanted to highlight that paragraph for you is, as I say, it was written 10 years ago. There will always be things in the world that look like the end of the world. But up until now, none of them have been. And there's a pretty good chance that if you listen to this again 10 years from now, it will make sense then as well, albeit for some apparently very different reasons. Argue for your limitations, and sure enough, they're yours. Richard Bach. I had a client once who spent the first 2 days of a 3-day coaching intensive arguing with me about all the very real reasons why his life was awful and was sure to get even worse going forward. Any alternative possibility I presented was quickly shot down by an additional set of facts about the past or projections about the future. By the end of the second day, somewhat exasperated, I said to him, "I can tell you right now, I see the possibility of a bright future for you, and I know for a fact you could be enjoying your life right now, today, in this moment, regardless of what's going on. And you'd better hope that I'm right and you're wrong. Because if you're right, you're screwed. If I'm right, at least there's the possibility of better times ahead." Surprised and a bit taken aback by my outburst, he asked me what I thought he should do. "You're gonna have to find a way to shut the hell up in your mind," I said, "and listen for something new. Something you don't already think and something you don't already know. If you do, promise you, you'll hear something that will change this for you." To his credit, he did. And he was like a different person by the time he left at the end of the next day. His only complaint was that I hadn't told him to shut up early enough in our time together. Now, I don't know what's going on in the world at the time you're reading this, but it's a pretty safe bet that there are some things going on that you wish weren't happening, that you're thinking lots of thoughts about how horrible things are going to be in the future because of it, and that you're feeling that horrible thinking as though those things are already happening now. It's an equally safe bet that there are some people in the world who are either happy or indifferent about those same things, and they're either thinking lots of thoughts about how wonderful things are going to be in the future, or not thinking much of anything at this moment. That's just how the mind works. We live in the feeling of our right now thinking, moment by moment by moment. To the extent that we know that, we have a bit of space around it. We don't have to take it to heart and project it out into the future. If it looks to us as though our feelings are coming from the outside world, we'll be stuck in them, and things will not only look bad now, they'll look as though they've always been bad and will only get worse. One of my students recently likened this to waking up with a terrible hangover. If she hadn't understood the nature of hangovers, she told me, she would have genuinely thought she was dying. She might have taken the time to get her affairs in order, done her best to make peace with her unresolved conflict, and called an ambulance to take her to the hospital. But because she knew how hangovers worked, she took a couple of aspirin, promised herself that she would never drink that much again, with her fingers crossed behind her back, obviously, and got on with her day, knowing that hangovers go away all by themselves as the amazing self-correcting mechanism of the body brings itself back into a healthy equilibrium. Similarly, if we understand the nature of the mind, we know that when we feel miserable, bleak, and hopeless, it's because we're caught up in some miserable, bleak, and hopeless thinking. And we also know that the moment we put that thinking to one side, the amazing self-correcting mechanism of the mind will bring us some fresh new thinking and creative hopeful possibilities as it brings itself back to a healthy equilibrium. But how do we do it? How do we put down our thinking when everything in us is telling us we need to take things more seriously, not less? How do we allow our natural buoyancy and resilience to come to the surface when the problem seems so much more deeply rooted than something as frivolous as passing thought? I can only share what helps me. Hopefully you'll find something in it that triggers your own natural capacity for insight, creativity, and realization. Stop saying, it's just a thought. In 2013, I decided to take a year off from running Supercoach Academy until I could find a better way of sharing the three principles at the heart of my work. I'd noticed that the most frequent thing I heard students and clients saying was, I know it's just a thought, but... and then finishing the sentence with things that indicated their problem was nothing to do with their thinking and everything to do with their past, future, and the world around them. Here's the thing. Saying it's just a thought is like saying it's just nuclear energy. Thought is the most powerful force in the universe. And while it can do a tremendous amount of good when handled with care and respect, it can destroy the world when misused or misunderstood. If you've ever wanted to smack someone who's come up to you in the midst of a personal crisis and told you, it's just your thinking, you'll know that the feelings we feel in response to our thoughts are 100% real in the body. They are not illusory and almost never feel temporary. The strength of those feelings gives you an indication of just how powerful thought really is. It's when you see that the only source of those feelings is a passing thought. Not the remembered past, not an imagined future, not even the most recent election results. The self-correcting mechanism of the mind kicks into action, and your thoughts begin to change for the better. See the disconnect between feeling bad and doing good. Martin Luther King had a dream. Mother Teresa had a mission. Nelson Mandela had a vision. While the movements they inspired were forged in a cauldron of social inequality and unrest, their personal stories are filled with examples of their love for humanity and their hope for a positive future. One of the reasons that people think they need to feel bad in order to make a change is that often our dreams and visions for a positive future come to us at seemingly low points in our lives, at times when we've been almost forced to go inside and take stock, to find out what we know to be true underneath the constant noise of our habitual thinking. This deeper knowing never comes with feelings of anger or fear. It carries with it a feeling of resolve and of hope and of love and of peace. We may not know how things are going to change, but we know we will be an agent of that change and that it will be a positive one. We don't need to stay angry to make a difference. In fact, it's one of the least efficient ways of doing so. Anger may get people to gather in the street, but it's inspiration that gets them to march forward instead of mobbing up and destroying whatever they see around them. Where does that inspiration come from? It comes from deep inside us, and it comes through in the moments that our constant thinking about how the world needs to change pauses. Then we find a little sliver of quiet, a space between thoughts, and through that space our path begins to emerge. As Marianne Williamson said, God heard us. He sent help. He sent you. In tomorrow's excerpt, we're going to talk about how do you change the world one person at a time. Until then, have fun, learn heaps, and I'll speak to you soon.